to Finger Guns Comedy. I'm Adam Macias. If you haven't watched this show before, every week we talk to an interesting guest and explore some crazy shit on the internet. Our guest this week is journalist from Patch.com, Nicole Sharkey. And later on the show, Ed and Steve are going to do a fast food tasting challenge. And we're also going to see why this woman is the queen in this motherfucker. But first, some headlines. West Coast residents woke up this week to orange skies and ash raining down upon them. This, of course, is because of all the forest fires currently happening, which, of course, is due to the global warming. But oh my God, who cares? Look, it's Blade Runner outside, guys. Oh, people took to Twitter posting depicts comparing our environment to the fictional dystopian future of Blade Runner 2049. Because, you know, when I see a fiery hellscape surrounding my home, you know, I'm posting that shit to my stories. Oh my God, it's legit lit outside. It's like a movie, guys. It's sad. People have lost their homes, their livelihoods, and their damn minds. Let me show you this little thing so y'all can see it a little bit better. Rumors circulated on the social media this week stating that Antifa protesters were arrested for starting the wildfires. These rumors ended up just being just not true, just straight up lies. I mean, is this where we're at in quarantine? We're like, we just ran out of shit to watch, so we're just going outside making up stories? Like, whoa, look at that stick. Oh my God, the sky is a movie. Come on, y'all. We don't have to make up stories and entertain yourselves, especially when Donald Trump is president.
We're going to begin tonight with breaking news, dramatic recordings of President Trump in February, privately acknowledging he knew the coronavirus could be transmitted through the air and was five times more deadly than the flu, even as he was publicly saying it wasn't. The blockbuster recordings are just some of the revelations in the new book, Rage, by Bob Woodward, which contradict the president's statements to the American people and tonight are threatening to upend his reelection campaign. Now, Woodward, the legendary.
Wow. Now, you're probably thinking, how could someone be so fucking stupid? And there's probably no way Fox News can spin this. But when life gives you lemons, Tucker Carlson knows who to fucking chuck them at.
That for repeated interviews with Bob Woodward. Why in the world would he do that? Well, tonight, from a source who knows the answer to that mystery, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. It was Lindsey Graham who helped convince Donald Trump to talk to Bob Woodward. Lindsey Graham brokered that meeting. Lindsey Graham even sat in on the first interview between Bob Woodward and the president. How'd that turn out? Now, remember, Lindsey Graham is supposed to be a Republican.
So, guys, it turns out it wasn't Donald Trump's fault for messing up the reaction to coronavirus. It was actually Lindsey Graham. So we could all just rest assured that Trump, he knows what he's doing, guys. It's definitely just...
Breaking news, Adam. Breaking news. I just heard that Lindsey Graham is actually the one who founded Trump University and was actually the only professor, and that's why nobody got an education there.
Oh, I'm actually hearing breaking news right now. It was not Donald Trump's fault at all for sleeping with Stormy Daniels. It was actually Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham was responsible for him cheating on his wife currently. The breaking news.
Breaking news, Adam. Lindsey Graham is actually the reason that there's a pee tape. Lindsey Graham really wanted Donald Trump to pee on him.
Breaking news. Lindsey Graham is actually the reason why humans pee. They expel bodily fluids because Lindsey Graham is in charge of it. He talked to God himself. He prayed for it. It's his fault. Everybody should go be blame him. Let's focus on that guy over there. Lindsey Graham.
Breaking news, Adam. Lindsey Graham is actually also the reason that humans poop. God was like, Lindsey, we need to punish you for making pee a thing, so we're going to make you poop.
Breaking news. There's also people happening. There's lots of... Lindsey Graham is in charge of all the things happening. There's just too much damn breaking news happening currently right now. I don't know. Ezra, you got another one?
Breaking news, Adam. Lindsey Graham grabbed her by the pussy, not Trump. Lindsey Graham is Billy Bush.
All right, that'll go ahead and do it for headlines today. I'm gonna go ahead and talk to our journalist who can tell us about breaking news. Her name's Nicole Sharkey. She works for Patch.com. She's just a wonderful person, and she's joining us live right now. How's it going, Nicole? How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Yes. Thank you so much for joining us. So you're a journalist. We love journalists here very much so on the
show. Thank you. This is a safe space.
This isn't downtown Los Angeles in front of the LAPD right now. I was going to ask, how did you get into journalism?
I've been a journalist since high school, basically. I was on the high school paper. My main involvement started when I joined the paper, but my interest is from childhood. I used to watch the NASDAQ with my grandfather. I grew up in an area one day where there was like a murder. Actually, there were two children who were murdered down the street. And I was really curious what happened. And so I would read the newspaper every day. And when I got to college, I pursued it. I joined this college paper, the Loyola Phoenix in Chicago. And then it was my dream to intern at the LA Times. And I started at the Glendale News Press, which is RIP, unfortunately, just one of the most recent victims of the pandemic. And the Los Angeles Times just recently cut the Glendale News Press, but they're still reporting on Glendale area. So
I'm in Glendale. That's my hood right there.
That's your spot. Community news is kind of like my thing.
Well, we talked a little bit before the show, and I actually did. I took your advice, and everybody should go try to do that right now. If we'll talk about it a little bit later, but go ahead and go to patch.com/sign up, I believe.
You can subscribe to your town.
Subscribe, and you just type in your zip code, and you can get all this local news happening in your area. And turns out it's just a lot of people smoking in Glendale. There's a lot of people smoking on the sidewalk and gathering when there shouldn't be. How did you graduate from kind of the journalism school to kind of your current beat right now, which is Patch and doing, you're kind of on the west side, correct, of LA?
Yeah, so I'm on the west side right now. I've been covering, like I said, I've been in LA for my whole life, but really focused on the west side right now. My start, real official start in community and like breaking news was in Chicago. I did a lot of reporting on Rogers Park neighborhood. Once again, I was walking home one day, saw someone had been murdered that was the local liquor store owner, and started reporting on that. One day I got a call that there was a body found in the lake right next to the library, started reporting on that. Wow. And my whole thing was I just wanted to beat the Sun-Times and the Tribune so badly. And I just wanted them to notice me. I wanted them to see that I beat them. Me. Just see it. Just notice me. So I ended up moving back to LA after college. I graduated early, and I graduated in the recession because I was like, this is a lot of money and I don't have any money right now. So I decided to leave Chicago and come home. So I ended up back at LA Times just working a few days a week and part-time. And then I ended up at the Newswire, which is Southern California's Newswire City News Service. And so everyone who watches the news, listens to the radio, is actually listening often to City News Service.
Right.
It's like kind of the hidden secret. It's a Newswire. So we are the ones who break the news and tell like the major news outlets what's going on. So I was involved with them and overnights at LAPD headquarters. And I worked there I don't remember what year this was. This is 2012, actually. So yeah, it's been a while. I've been around a lot of these breaking news stories, covered a lot of local news, local elections, local disasters. When I was at CNS, I covered the tsunami. When I moved on to LA Times, I was doing all the overnight terrorism reporting.
I have so many questions because this week especially is so important regarding journalism, especially with local journalists being arrested later on or earlier in the week or whatever, and then of course the Woodward tapes and the story. What I want to know though is you did tell a story about how you got arrested in Japan before. Is that all right if we discuss that slightly?
Totally. Okay. I've actually never spoken about this publicly, and I'm totally fine to talk about it. It's just been like awesome. One of those things that's been just a very bad experience I had. But
okay.
I am happy to share about it. So I was out with a group of friends at the Nintendo bar in Shinjuku, and I was having a great time. And we caught the last train of the night, and we were in Tokyo trying to get back to their apartment with a group. And it ended up that someone was really drunk and heard us talking and got upset and grabbed a friend of ours by the collar. And then another friend who I was visiting, she slapped the guy to get him off. And we were detained because of it, because you are not allowed in Japan to hit people, even if they hit you. And then we were actually, so we were taken to the station, which is actually a combination DMV police station.
That's efficient.
Kind of interesting and efficient. I thought that was very efficient. And I'm why don't we do that in the US? That would be more simple. So anyway, that's just a side note. But then I get there and they questioned me for a long time. And part of the reason they questioned me was because I did not have my passport or Gaijin card on me. I had left it back at the apartment because I was an idiot and thought it would be totally fine to run around without my passport at nighttime. So I had a copy of it, actually, which is kind of funny. I had made a copy of it and put it in my purse. But in Japan, there is a law that states if you are, you know, any type of citizen needs to carry ID. So if you are visiting, you need your passport. And, or if you're visiting for short term or even long term, you need to have a Gaijin card that says you're not, you're visiting or that you're staying there for a long term. You know, it's pretty interesting. And they can actually just like ask you on the train. And if you don't have it, you can be detained. So I was detained for about 8 hours. It was really scary because I didn't understand what was going on. And I had an interpreter come and do a full report with me. But there were, you know, so many questions that were very shocking, things that you wouldn't normally ask in the US, like, do you have any hobbies? What does your mother do? What does your father do? Just like things like, what do you do? Like, why are you here?
So it's interesting. What do you think the reason was for asking that stuff?
Well, out of our group of four, I was detained the longest. And I think it was because I was a journalist and I was at the LA Times at the time. So I think they were just curious, like, what was I doing? Media is different in Japan. It's different. It's more state run. It's state funded. It's different than how we have it here. So it's just a different style of system. But the whole thing was kind of scary because I was unable to communicate. And at one point we had to call the embassy, but my friends called the embassy and there was an embassy person who was trying to help me. So I went through the photo, the fingerprint process, everything. And then I came up the elevator after this whole process and my friends were like, we are leaving now. Like the embassy is coming. We need to go.
Let's go. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so we left. And that was like, that was honestly one of the most shocking experiences I'd ever had, but also told me a lot about how to stay calm, how not to lose your cool, how to identify yourself. And that's something we're seeing with like Josie this on Saturday night with in Compton.
I mean, you totally took that kind of situation and you handled it because you knew, I would assume you knew where it could go to. And
Unfortunately, the problem was if you're visiting a foreign country and you get arrested, they can put a warrant out for your arrest so you don't leave the country if it's something serious. In my case, like they ended up going back to the apartment and grabbing the passport and bringing it back to the police station. So it wasn't that serious. And they ultimately let me go. No charges at all. Nothing. So it's just funny that I was in that situation because I have never been anything in any type of situation like that in the US. I've worked behind the counter at LAPD headquarters. So that's like, you know, high security. I'd had high clearance. So I was just laughing that like I was on the other side of the world.
It's also, you don't think of like that country really as like, you know, strict police laws, you know, like you think more like you're traveling and experiencing culture. Like you don't hear about like, the prisons of over there, you know, that's not something like, it's not like it's like, you know, like some terrible, like, oh my, I don't want to go to that prison or anything. It's But at the same time, it's still truly terrifying. My wife, I'm sure she
forever.
We were over. Exactly. And I'm sure she's watching a little bit. We had experienced losing a passport actually.
Oh.
And it's truly terrifying. Like, you know, like it's not something, to be in you want to be in 100% because there is that level of like, oh my God, I can't do anything right now. Or, there's just a total level of helplessness with it. And I mean, obviously your case was that you just didn't have one on you, but still it's not a good position to be in for sure.
No, it's really scary. And I highly recommend anyone who travels, just keep your passport on you, like carry it with you. Like I learned the hard way, but really
the funny thing is that Kate actually lost it because she had it on her and we were drinking that night and it dropped out of her pocket.
Oh.
And luckily it was still there at the restaurant the next morning. We were totally lucked out. But like, she was just like, and it was funny because she wasn't planning on taking it with her. And I was like, no, you should take it. You should always have your passport on you. And and so it was like, because she brought it out that she actually lost it. So it was my bad. But I still hold true to that. And exactly what you're saying, Nicole, always have your passport on you. And speaking of passport, we're traveling all around the show today. We're going to be traveling. We're going to be traveling to some, to be introducing to our next segment here, which is introducing our team here. Danny, everybody hates this. It was a bad transition. I'm just looking on all of your faces. Let's go ahead and go to who I haven't spoken to yet. His name is Denzel Ward. And is he ready? Yeah, he's ready. Here we go. Denzel Ward,
hey,
what's up, buddy?
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going good, man. I love the background you got there.
Oh, yeah. I got some space going on back there. Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey,
how are you?
Hey, doing well. Doing well.
Denzel, you said you were a little held up in by work today or something like that today. What? How'd it go?
Yeah.
Everything good?
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Sometimes, you know, you just got to be a little assertive. Assertive is the word I'm going to use.
Yeah. Assertive. Say, hey, I got to go. I
got
to go.
Pretty much. Hey, guys, I've got better stuff to do that I don't get paid for. Okay, let's go do that.
Yes, well, this is way more important than your job, of obviously. Let's go and introduce our next guest. We got Amelia Gonzalez, who's still reeling from my great transition into this segment. What's up, Amelia? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Oh,
doing good.
Oh, I like that shirt.
I embraced the spooky season. I went full on makeup. I said, let me get my Beetlejuice looking type of vest.
You got a Beetlejuice situation going. It's nice.
I do. Thank you. Thank you.
It's the pink flamingos for me.
That that's the only.
Like, is that a new comforter or are we just noticing that right now?
It's in rotation. It's been a thing. It's been shown in some episodes, but
so you switch out your comforters?
Well, this is a like the blanket. It's a sheet.
Oh, the sheet. Okay. Yeah. But so you switch that out when you're like cleaning sheets or whatever.
Yeah. That's actually a hot take. I don't like comforters. I think they're too bulky and I think it's just gets in the way for my sleep. When I was younger, I would just sleep on top of the comforter and have an actual blanket because comforters are not blankets.
So much makes sense about you now. Okay.
I think they're too heavy and they make me sweat sometimes.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. We're all Denzel, and you're not a fan of heat as well. So how do you feel about comforters?
No, but I am a fan of, like, I'm the person that will have it be extremely cold. Like, I don't do heat at all. AC is always on blast. So comforters for me, like, I feel it's corny. I feel protected underneath it. Like somehow if there is some sort of monster, my comforter is going to protect me. None of you seem to be protected. You're all going to be attacked, and I'll come on the show and do a great, like, hey, they got guys.
Well, speaking of got, this person is incredibly protected. It's Steve Sotelo. How are you doing, Steve? How are you doing? He's wrapped up underneath his blanket currently.
Yeah.
How you doing, my man? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm sleepy.
Well, you are laying down in the middle of a comedy show. So
I was told that I'm not very good at stand-up, so I decided to try laying down.
You're gonna do lay down comedy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very relaxed. Very relaxed. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you're fully clothed underneath the comforter, and there's no reason to take that comforter off for any particular
reason.
Funny
story. Amelia had an issue with the kimono I continue to wear, so I had to bring out all white kimono today.
Yeah.
The old white kimono.
Yeah. I really like the candle.
I was going to say, it's the candle for me. You got a real romantic vibe over there, baby.
What's what? Oh, let's see.
Oh, setting the mood for the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's got a candle very close to his bed, almost dangerously, some would say.
Thank you. Look, hazard is real with candles.
The state is on fire. What are we doing? You're going to do a gender reveal party next?
Good. Relax,
I have water
guys.
In my room. And if you smelled the scent in my room before the pre-candle, you'd be like, yeah, I don't care about a fire. You put something to make this room smell good. It just smells like balls in here. So it's like, all right, well, I'm not going to be in this room doing a podcast. Let me put on this candle.
Well, Sticky Feather says the Satello gang is in there, which I guess it's just you as the gang right now. Steve Satello is part of the Satello game. Everybody go buy that merch. It's available on our website.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go move on to somebody who, you know him, you love him. It's Danny Carpenter. What's up, everybody? What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, no. What happened, Danny? Are you okay?
I'm just making sure.
Yeah?
I'm doing great.
Doing good. I finished
both Tony Hawk 1 and 2 today.
I'm playing it right now.
I still have challenges to do, but I beat every goal on every base level. So
let me ask you a question. Can you still make the parks, like do the like custom parks and stuff like that in Tony Hawk?
You can still make parks. Whoa. That's pretty sick. Was that a pre-order bonus?
No, this was part of the collector's edition. Now, here's the thing. Whoa. I don't skateboard. I've never skateboarded.
Me neither.
Many young children, I loved those games. So when this game was coming back out, I was like, there's a skateboard. It's an official Birdhouse skateboard, I'm proud to say. Ooh. I spent $92. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anyone says.
That's fine.
That's crazy. Well, just
so
real
Tony
quickly,
Hawk also got me to spend...
Denzel is holding a skateboard. A bird skateboard for the listening audience.
Birdhouse.
Collector's edition. Home.
It's a bird
home. I will not tolerate this disrespect, Adam. Just because you have a nice haircut. Yeah, more important. Yes, Danny.
Thank you for the
Denzel. Tony Hawk, that game is also a tremendous billboard for me as well, because I was skating with Tyshawn Jones in the game, and I was like, these are some nice shoes. And I just went on adidas.com, and I was like, $75? That's a great deal. So now, on Friday, I'm going to have the Tyshawns in my possession, the white and blue. I'm going to look so cool. That's skateboarding shoes, once again, been on a skateboard maybe 3 times in my life, fell each time and went, not doing this again, and just went back to playing Tony Hawk.
Yes. That's great. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Skate shoes are very comfortable. What's the most comfortable shoe to you guys?
Yeah. Hold on. Okay, let's not shoot.
No,
talk.
No, no.
Let's
no,
go
no,
ahead.
We'll
and
get
shoot
Ezra
him.
In here and let's talk
let's
about it.
Our next guest, our next year. We're going to shoot him in here. Ezra here. Ezra, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm good. I'm real good. I'm happy to be here. You know, today I wasn't on the show for a little while, which was before the show started, and that was too bad. But now I'm here, and I feel better.
Well, that's great. It's always good when you're on the show, and it's always bad when we're not on the show.
Listen, you
that's
did a bad
what I like to say.
I thought I'd do a bad introduction, you know?
Fuck you! All right, Nicole Sharkey actually said that she hates shoes. That's a hot take. What about
just, do you wear like, flip flops?
No, I. You know, oh, okay. I just they're just so the sandal thing so overrated. Like I always get a blister. I'm always trying to figure it out. Like I just feel like the shoes thing. Like unless I'm wearing like running shoes or like Keds sneakers. I really don't care about shoes that much.
I love the way you're saying the shoes thing, as if like shoes as a concept, as like a vague construct, like that whole shoes thing.
We don't really need them. Like, what's the point?
Well, you got
especially in quarantine, we don't need shoes.
For the listening audience, we just so you to everyone we see in the background of Nicole's background we see a surfboard, which tells her total surfer chick.
I would rather be in the sand most of the time, but lately it's been so shitty out. So
what about water socks? How do you feel about that?
Oh, those are kind of great actually. The neon ones, like from Rite Aid.
Are you opposed to wearing water socks just like outside of the water, or is it strictly just a water habit?
It could be a look that I haven't incorporated yet, so maybe I need to think about that. Actually,
well, what are we doing? What are we talking about? Yeah, I thought we were ranking most comfortable types of shoes. Yeah,
Adam, I know what water socks are, but I know Amelia doesn't know what water socks are.
Nicole, can you guys explain to me what water socks are?
I'll give you a historical example. Water socks were very popular in the 1990s at water parks, the river, at the beaches. Anything with rocks, really. Yeah.
Wait, so Nicole, I know what a beach is, but Amelia doesn't know what a beach is.
Amelia knows what a beach is.
I need to know what the look of it is.
This is the look, feel, and vibe of. They come in all shapes and colors.
These are water socks. They're practically like Nike Freeze, which I was going to suggest, Nicole. You should definitely, if you like water socks, get into your Nike Freeze.
I think they're very thin and have a sole.
They're very cheap. Oh my gosh, they're so cheap.
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
These are where those toe shoes.
I was going to say, I got those confused with the ones that look like that fit in the crevices of your toes.
Those are crazy.
They're pretty much the same thing.
We all agree that's crazy.
those are the rolly backpacks of shoes, actually.
I don't think those are for nerds. I think they're someone, because we do the line at work where we like meter how many people can come in. And I like, I start at people's feet, which is a weird admission to make, I guess. But I like look at people's feet first. And I saw like toe shoes, and I was like, "Oh, that's weird. Look at these dorks." And then as I like looked up, I saw that it was a couple, and they were two of the buffest people I've ever seen in my life. So I think everyone wears toe shoes. It's just you got to be a specific type of freak.
Yeah. Cameron Mysterious is correcting us as Vibrams, and he says he loves them.
Are those the toe shoes?
Those are the toe shoes. Yeah, those are the toe shoes.
If you went to Raging Waters, you know toe shoes.
Exactly.
Or you know sea socks or whatever they're called.
But
I grew up in a city. I just want to put that out there. These footwear choices that you guys are like, these don't work in the streets of New York. Like, I'm just going to put that out there.
No, they really don't. They are not great for that. Okay, but let's go ahead and transition to something, a video I wanted to show everybody.
Real quick, before we transition, do you guys think I could pull off overalls with one strap undone and Tim's? You think I could pull that look off?
Are they shorts or are they pants, the overalls?
No, they're pants. Oh. It's full pants. They're really baggy, too.
How many bandanas do you have on you with this?
No bandanas.
Oh, you can't pull
off. Any gold chains?
No chain.
As the resident person here from New York, I'm gonna go ahead and give you a yes. Yes.
Oh hell yeah.
Yes.
Oh hell yeah.
Go ahead. You got to go ahead.
You got
the good. Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and transition to a video I wanted to show everybody. Just to open everybody up. We're all loose and talk about shoes. No, we're not. Not doing that.
Really quick. I just want to say my favorite shoes are my boots. Okay, we can move on.
Okay, tight. Okay. Well, here's a little video of a woman in an airplane, and we'll just start from here. Let me know if you guys can hear it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're good.
Sorry. So we're seeing a woman standing near the bathroom, and then some sort of attendant with a mask standing right next to her.
How Okay, excuse me. I need to
get
my
glass. And now the attendant is pushing past the woman.
I need to get to the lady.
Oh, now we have a passenger in the airplane now chiming in this two-way conversation.
I'm grown. I'm trying to use the bathroom. The lady is coming.
Now the woman is now in the face of the passenger, who, as we can now tell, it's a blonde woman. That's
a
blonde woman.
What do I gotta listen to? Are you my boss? Mm-hmm. You are white privilege. You're not my boss.
Oh, and she just dropped the white privilege.
You're not my boss. I need to get to my bathroom and have respect for me.
I love the "you're not my boss" as a defense, because that was what the bagel boss cited as well. You guys remember bagel boss?
Yeah. We've talked about bagel boss on the show before.
I just want to point out she pulled a classic black move. She told that woman to sit down while she was already sitting. This is a confusion tactic. It's a confusion tactic. Yeah. What I need you to do is take several seats, because it stumps them in the moment. But I'm already sitting. I got you. You know, you don't know what's coming next.
Check in.
I do want to point out as well that the woman, before she got pushed, she was wearing a mask. The second she got upset, she put that mask down so everybody can hear her loud and clear.
I need Carla, to get to my door.
Good. And I need to get to my bathroom. So you write and respect people. You have white privilege, and it's not here. It's over with.
Now, second woman is white privilege.
Wake up. You got a mask on.
Yes, I do.
So you're under the government, too. You're confined. And you don't have white privilege anymore. I'm a queen. She was from a black queen.
Okay,
well, you don't talk, because you so privileged that you got to get in somebody else and tell them you're not listening. I don't have to listen to you. You don't run me. You go to the bathroom. You shut up and stay in your lane.
Hell yeah.
I'm not talking to you. Listen to your mama. She should have told. I know you don't care. You so brown.
Another classic black move. I want to break down all the classics.
Yeah, please. Right?
She went to your mama. Now, I don't know how much this resonates with you guys, but for us, that's a strong one. Back in the day, Dems was fighting words. I want y'all to understand that right there.
Yes,
that's before it's about to go down. And she knows what she's doing. She knows. Mm-hmm. That's it. I'll give you more later. I want to poll
the audience, or the people. And please, if you're watching, please leave a comment in below. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. But everybody here, what are we thinking about this woman so far? Are we thinking maybe
jealous? Black queen?
You're jealous.
Yeah, because I don't know. I kind of want to, like, I don't know. Like, man, she's got
with
such
the
a
amount of freedom that you exercise, Steve. You shouldn't be jealous of anyone. Just gonna put that out there.
No, because I don't know if I could, if I have the bravery to call myself like a brown king, like the way that she called herself a black queen. And I honestly, like, I'm envious.
She's a queen.
She just said queen. I'm a queen.
She did say black queen.
Yeah.
And I'll break it down for you, because she said black queen because that's what she is. She's a black queen.
Oh yeah.
She said black queen.
She is incredibly powerful in this situation. And at the end of the day, she's wrong. She's 100% wrong. She should have sat down, because they're like, you know. But the fact that, like, okay, she felt attacked and stuff like that, there's a lot of the stuff that she is saying that's not wrong either, though. So this is the conflict I want to talk to you guys about, is that this, she is powerful, and she's saying all these very incredibly and poignant things, yet she just should have sat down. She turned. It is a thing now, and so I don't know. That's how I'm feeling about it. What about you, Ezra? You
can at the outset of the conflict, because it was kind of like, did the attendant just want to go by?
Yes, yeah, just to go by.
I don't really understand the pushback, but I do agree with everything she said afterwards, like, for yes, sure. But I was just like, okay, why are we fighting? But yes, you should win the fight, but why are we I don't know. It was confusing to me. Did anybody else see 100%. That differently?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to be 100% disingenuous. I'm going to be phony. I'm not going to get on any platform and say anything negative about a black queen. I'll let you know right now. I need to know what happened Listen. I know, Ezra, it's fine. I'm not putting that on you. But what I want the world to understand, and all of India that listens to us, that Denzel is not going to get on this platform and say anything negative about a black queen. Because why? I need to know what went on before that record button was hit. Ooh, yeah. I need to know.
I need to know.
That's what I need to know.
There's often so much more to these viral videos. There's like the few minutes before.
That's right, Nicole.
Yes.
There's a few minutes after.
Yes.
And also, what she had to say, and the one thing that I was in a position, and this always drives me nuts, is when people get involved in a conflict and it's not their conflict. I feel like that happens all the time. And that's the number one rule. Like, we learn that as kids. Like, don't get involved in other people's crap. Like, don't even touch it. So, I can't even believe that woman got involved in the
argument. And I'm going to say, now, am I a little bit less inclined to give people the benefit of the doubt when it's, let's say, a Karen? Yes. Yes, I am. And I will proudly do that, because once again, I am going to iterate that I will not get on this platform or any platform.
I want to point out that Gene Harmon says I'm an Aztec princess. And you know what? I think this is a fair argument. I think we should all just be saying this in arguments from here on out. Relate to your we're all princesses. No.
At what point does that end up becoming like a email spam? Like the Nigerian thing? I'm a brown king, and I don't have money. Can you send me some, and then I'll give you more money later? And then I scam everyone.
I also don't think anyone should get in between a woman in the bathroom. I just don't think it's appropriate. Oh, yeah.
It's not a safe space.
Yeah.
Very fair, very fair. So let's go ahead and finish up this video, because it only gets crazier, and we're only not even halfway through. You won't watch the whole thing, but I want to watch some more of it. Here we go.
Like I said, y'all don't run people. You don't run America, you run yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So get off your little mentality that you're better than somebody, because you're not.
Mm. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, huh? That's what I say. See this little shit right here? It's all little mentality. But you need to understand, you don't run America no more.
Everyone's seated at this time.
Okay, now we have someone chiming in over the intercom.
And guess what? When I was 14, they said, oh, you people are so defiant. I slapped the shit out that white bitch when she told me that all y'all white people are so the same. And that's how I got off that bus in Richmond, California. So you can think all you want to. All y'all people are all the same. That's what y'all teach in your house. But black people don't teach that hate in our house. You need to understand that. Yeah. Yeah, we don't teach hate in our house. Okay. Y'all teach hate in y'all house. Y'all narcissists. But you ain't gonna play that shit with me, yes. Because I'm not a slave. I never came from Africa. I'm an indigenous person in this country. You shut up. Let me tell you, instead of your, what your mama taught
you. We have more people chiming in.
Let me tell you the truth. I'm the queen in this motherfucker. You understand me? You came from my color. Black make every color. You
okay.
understand me?
I'm gonna pause this real quick, because now... Okay, this is where the video... Oh, I think, Danny, did we lose you for a second? This is where the video kind of takes a turn as far as the relatability, in my opinion. Let's go ahead and go back here.
And me, black, make ever. Your people are going extinct. And that's why you're mad. You can procreate. That's what eugenics was about. That's what eugenics, the Darwin theory... Because y'all know the truth. I've been waiting to say this all my life.
Oh.
You're mad because only black people have the genes to procreate. And y'all know the truth. You come from me. A black person can make any color in Africa, white with blue eyes and blonde hair, just like you. Have a twin, one my color and one your color. It's called Esau and Jacob. You be quiet.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So this is where it starts to come into more of a really in-depth Well, I don't know what to call it exactly.
If I was just like, wow.
She said, Darwin is in this bitch, I believe is something she said. And
I don't think it's never been said
in public before. Go ahead. So Steve, did you say something? I think I cut you off.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, she's not wrong. You know, Darwin is up in this bitch. And
she's proved
with evolution of where we are. Also, she's made a point. She made a statement that I don't agree with.
I will
get on my pedestal or my, is it a pedestal or whatever?
It's a soapbox. It's a soapbox.
My soapbox, baby. No one who sits in coach is controlling the world.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Like she's saying this to eco people. She bought we know that we're not buying it from the airline. We're all getting it from like Expedia or Skiplagged. So we're paying $94 for the same seat that you are. We aren't ruling the world. Like we're stealing people's Netflix accounts and stuff like that.
Right. Everyone on this Frontier Airlines flight, listen up.
Our Spirit Airline.
Yes. So, obviously, I don't know. Should we watch the rest of it? Is anyone more intrigued to watch the rest of it? Should we move on? I'm just curious.
I want to hear from Nicole. She hasn't said anything. She's our guest.
Sure. I mean, I find flying very oppressive right now. I don't really understand how anyone would want to fly at this moment. I mean,
that is a very shocking part of this video is that we see that this flight is fucking packed. It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. It's kind of dystopic in the sense that they're like, stay 6 feet apart. Health officials are like, you got to be away from each other. And then we're like, let's put you all together in a very small space with the same air that you're going to breathe for hours. And that sounds really terrifying to me in a pandemic. So, I just want to mention that in my work with Attention, which is a video news company, you've probably seen a lot of their videos.
Yeah.
We did a lot of work on viral videos that came out of people being like paying customers getting mistreated by airplane staff or airline staff. And that was like, how many of you remember the United Airlines flight where the doctor got knocked out? Yeah. He was bleeding. I mean, this is like, this stuff has been going on. Some people are not good at traveling. Like, let's be real. Like, some people suck at traveling. They're really nervous. They're really anxious. And I just think, like, add a pandemic, add a social movement, racial inequality, economic inequality, health inequality, and essentially you've got the perfect combustion on a plane. So I think it's like it's amplifying what you're already seeing on the ground, but in a small space. And just because you put a bunch of people together in a plane doesn't mean they're all going to get along at all. It's actually the opposite.
I get my most violent, to be honest with you.
It's where my mind is just like, I gotta be occupied this entire time. Like, I'm always gotta pick a movie. Like, how many of you watched? I watched a sad movie one time on the plane.
Oh, don't do that. You're gonna cry.
It was horrible.
It's like scientific that you cry more on planes. It's like a thing, total thing. Don't want to do that.
Yeah, I'm not saying. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you can cry in an Avengers movie, which I have multiple times. So, Steve. I cut you off. What were you going to say, Nicole?
No, I'm not saying, like, everyone should be afraid to fly, but, like, it's kind of nuts how people don't understand how sensitive people are right now. And oftentimes, like, I'm in social situations, like, even at the grocery store, where I'm shocked how insensitive people are and impatient. So
totally, everybody's stressed out. Everybody's stressed out right now. You know what? Speaking of stressed out, let's do something. Let's go ahead and cut to Steve. He made a video this week in a cathartic way. Steve, why don't you go ahead and explain this video for us?
Yeah. So I get bored a lot, especially with this this pandemic. And one of the things I've been watching a lot are people like trying to like do like blind taste tests of stuff. And the most common one that people tend to mess up is like the hamburger or the cheeseburger from fast food places. It's like, are you crazy? Like they all taste different. And maybe it's my bias because I was at one point in my life 400 pounds or so. So like, yeah, I know the ins and outs, and I know anything that's part of the burger. However, you know, it's been a while since I've had it, but you know, it's sense memory. You know what this tastes like, and you're crazy if you get it wrong. So me and my roommates decided to really test it out in our own way, and so we filmed it, and I gave it to Adam.
Yeah, well, we're gonna go ahead and cut to that. We're gonna watch that right now, and hope I am dying to see how it turned out. So here is Steve Sotelo's blind burger test. Hey, what's up, Finger Guns listeners? This is Adam Macias. I just want to remind you, please go follow us on Instagram at GoFingerGuns and check out our website at fingergunscomedy.com. If you haven't already, please go ahead and rate and review us on iTunes. It really helps out the show. We will read them live on air, and you'll never know what will happen. I do want to shout out to Hillary Rich, who says, very funny. Thank you, Hillary. Super good. So please go ahead, rate and review us. It takes about 5 seconds. It's in the link in the show right now. Just go ahead and click it and give us a review. All right. And I do want to shout out a very special podcast, friends of the show, Trashy Trashy Podcasts. And here's a little bit more about that show.
Hi, I'm Erica.
And I'm Cassandra.
And we're the hosts of Trashy Trashy.
We're a podcast filled with trashy news stories and garbage people.
Did you leave the scene of an accident to go tanning?
Do you refer to wearing the strap down on your Crocs as sports mode?
Have you ordered Domino's online before they even open in the morning?
Are you switching the same AAA batteries from your TV remote to your vibrator instead of just buying more batteries?
Or are you normal?
Check us out wherever you download podcasts.
So I'm going to go ahead and bring in Steve Sotelo here to discuss his interview or discuss how can one person be so damn wrong? Steve Sotelo, how do you feel about how that turned out?
First burger was not my best moment. However, you know, I was 4 for 4 after that. And so I didn't lose. I won.
No, it sounds like you lost.
If we're going by Trump,
you said 5 for 5. You said 5 for 5.
Won.
You said 5 for 5. You came in hot. You asked, you said specifically, I'm going 5 for 5 on this. Anything less is a lose, is an L.
I did go because as soon as I bit into the McDonald's one, I was like, oh, okay, this one's Jack in the Box. And I knew it. There was 4 other options it could have been after I realized that the McDonald's one, I won. Okay. I'm a winner.
Well, let's go ahead and cut to the fans. Let's go ahead and cut to the fans on the people are saying pickles are disgusting. Matt Gariva says, LOL. Jane Harmon says, pickles are food of the gods. Ellipses. Cameron Messiah says, all are trash, fast food poison to go. Steve,
okay,
how do you feel about
that?
Okay,
then Cameron, what is your burger, huh? Do you make it free range with like an organic bun that grew from the ground and you're using cheese that came from trees and
possibly and, yeah tree yeah tree cheese go ahead Cameron, go ahead and comment below if you use tree cheese. Kate Harmon says pickles are trash, but she says she loves them chicky nuggies. And Matt Griva says you should do fries next. That sounds more challenging, to be honest with
oh
you.
I'll fucking do that. Don't challenge okay. me to. I'll do it.
I think you should. Next week, you should do it.
And
all right, let's go ahead and bring
it. I'll taste different Cokes, too, because McDonald's has a sweeter Coke, too. Oh, there's a whole thing behind that.
Shut up. All right, let's bring everybody else back on. We got Ezra Parter. He's coming back on. Amelia Gonzalez, Denzel Ward, Danny Carpenter, and Nicole Sharkey is with us. Of course, we are joined by another special guest, a very close person to me, as well as
my wife. Sharkey.
My wife, it's Feathers, aka Kate Harmon.
Hey,
how's it going, Kate?
You know, I was just watching you guys, and then I grabbed a beer, and Adam's like, "Oh, you want to join?" Okay.
I like how I said it. You want to join? So, cheers, everybody. Cheers. Yeah. So, this is the. Let's go ahead and drink that part.
Kitty.
Tasty. Let's go ahead, and this is where we're going to get a little bit of real. Nicole, we talked a little bit before the pod. And I talked a little bit during my monologue. The Woodward tapes were released this week about Donald Trump pretty much downplaying the coronavirus. And there's a lot of talk amongst the kind of journalists, people in the journalism world, about whether or not he should have held it or put it out there. And you had some pretty distinct opinions about it. Nicole, can I ask you how do you feel about the whole situation?
Sure, I think that being a journalist and having sources and interviewing people where it's either them putting their reputation on the line or them putting more information into the public about the pandemic is really sensitive stuff. With a lot of sources and a lot of interviews, a lot of times people say, I want to be anonymous. Sometimes people say, I want to be on background. Right. Sometimes they don't even want to be quoted. In this case, if you are going to go after the president of the United States, which is actually what is happening, with the Bob Woodward story and the tapes, you actually have to be very clear that what you're presenting is real, that like what you're actually saying, because these are right. pretty serious allegations that the president totally. Allowed people to suffer essentially and right. die.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So that is a very serious accusation. So any journalist is going to do their due diligence and make sure that it's not just hearsay, that they're not just repeating something. And particularly with Donald Trump, everything he says, you have to double, triple check. And that's something that journalists are dealing with right now. There's a lot of fact-checking teams that are assembled, particularly during the election. And a lot of groups are getting ready for what's going to happen in the election. And this is part of this. So this could put him at a pretty serious risk of actually like getting reelected. And a lot of people think yeah. that this is the first like nail in the coffin for the campaign. This is the hardest hit they're going to take so far.
This is a pretty hard hit. True.
And Bob Woodward has been doing this for over 40 years. So this isn't just somebody randomly from, you know, and BuzzFeed, for example, with the dossier and everything. A lot of people right. were like, no, that wasn't yeah. real. BuzzFeed is fake news. But Bob mm-hmm. Woodward is Bob Woodward of Woodward and Bernstein.
I mean, he's the most, arguably the one of the most legendary reporters and journalists of our generation. So much so that, you know, like he is known, Nixon is synonymous with Woodward and Bernstein. In a very real way. And there is this incredible irony that it's Woodward that's doing it again to another corrupt leader, political person.
Allegedly.
Well, no, I mean, he did it. He's literally reporting something. It was very much so. But I guess, and then this is something, Nicole, you and I have talked about too regarding I have confided in you regarding certain interviews that I've done and for any advice. There's a certain level of journalistic integrity regarding certain things. And me as a plebe who just, you know, didn't study any of this, I'm wondering if there is a game plan or like some sort of plan of action when doing an interview like this and a leader with this much power drops that much information. Can you speak on that at all?
Yeah, sure. So when you interview someone of any high caliber, you have to go into the interview knowing their tricks, their style, the things they say, the things they don't say, the language they use. And, you know, you have to hold them accountable. So if you heard the Woodward interview, because I actually went back and listened to it a couple times just to understand what Donald Trump was saying is, you know, he didn't want to panic people, which is interesting because a sign of a leader is, you know, not panicking people, hopefully. But in this case, you know, allowing this pandemic to grow and not acting on it has had serious repercussions. So when you're interviewing someone like this, it has to be really, really clear that you need the information, not necessarily about, you know, and if they say something that leaves a hole or a gap or a question, you ask it. And Woodward had him on record and challenged him, right. not in a way that was, you know, what he doesn't like in interviews, which if you go back to all the interviews from Jim Acosta at CNN to any of the most recent stuff in the press room, you know, it's making him feel like he's your buddy, like he's your pal, and not necessarily that you're going to go for the jugular, but like in the process, you actually reveal, let him reveal the reality. Let the facts speak for themselves. I don't know if any of you follow, like ABC 2020 has been doing incredible news stories. They do news magazine style. So it's like a long form story. And they did a huge investigative piece on the pandemic and what had happened in the months leading up to January. And if you go back and see, there was actually a pandemic response team that was part of the White House. And all of those folks are no longer at the White House because they have left the administration since mm-hmm. the administration began in 2016. Yeah. So, just knowing the background, knowing the facts, holding people accountable, and then also like asking again, because he has to have back, like actual substantial information that were there meetings. Did they actually sit down together and talk about this in the panic room? Like right. What was actually going on? Was he just coughing the whole time? Like he has to actually go and see. Yeah. Woodward has to go and see, was he actually meeting with people? Was he doing these briefings? Was he actually, because Woodward can't just go out there and say like, I had one conversation with Donald right. Trump. He said this. Because right. who the hell knows what he said yeah. before or after?
Right. You have one shot, and if you mess it up, like no one, you're yeah, not credible.
Exactly. He made it bulletproof in a way. So I do just to expound on this point a little bit more too, because I think it's incredibly interesting. And he didn't speak for a very long time after. I think he dropped it on Tuesday or Wednesday, and he was by like to his contract to his Simon Schuster book deal that he couldn't speak until he had an interview with 60 Minutes on Sunday. So I listened to that interview and they asked him, they grilled him on that. And essentially it's the reason is very much what you're saying, Nicole, is he wasn't sure who he talked to, who his sources were, where did he find out that it's airborne? Like he had to verify before it dropped it, that it wasn't just like Ivanka saying it's airborne.
Exactly.
And that's why he was repeating it to. It was actually President Xi saying it to him during a phone call, and he verified it, got the transcript, and it took him a long time to get the transcript and stuff like that. Speaking of transcript, you can always go to fingergunscomedy.com to get the transcript of the show if you're interested in any of that. But I, you know, and it, we actually won't take months. We'll actually do it rather quickly. Mm-hmm. But just to
there's expand transcripts
on that a little,
of the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there is. Yeah,
there's so many legal reasons too we didn't even talk about that are huge. Yeah. The legal repercussions are huge.
What's Trump, something we can expand on that a little bit?
I mean, one thing you can expect to see in the next few months are a lot of books on Donald Trump and on his life, on his leadership style, on the pandemic, the economy. For the next year or two, you're going to see a lot of that. And there's a lot of concern that the public is going to get like, you know, just totally fatigued by seeing Trump is crappy books all the time. And there's a lot of concern about that. But the other issue is that he's very litigious. He's historically litigious for over 30 years. Yes. And that's from the city of New York and housing developments and blocking people who are black and brown from accessing proper housing and taking care of them when they are paying rent, to actually like what's going on in Palos Verdes, which is like, you know, shady deals under, there's an attorney general in New York is doing an investigation on Trump family and their financial holdings. There's a lot at stake. Bob Woodward could lose everything. He could get sued. He could, unless the publisher takes the heat for him, which the publisher probably does have an attorney, and Bob probably has an attorney on his, you know, payroll or whatever. But as an independent journalist, when you go after the president of the United States, not only are you going after them, you're going after all their all their assets, essentially, and they're putting them at a legal risk. So for the Trump family, you know, they could come back and retaliate. They could sue Bob Woodward. Like they tried to block their niece's book for forever.
Right.
Mary Trump's book. So
every single book that's come out with him, they've tried to block as well. And I do feel that level too, because I'm so many Donald Trump books in right now. I was like, I was excited to read what's his name's? The one that came out last week, I believe.
Peter Strzok's book.
his advisor, the guy that during the Mueller report.
Oh, compromised.
Compromised. I was going to read that. And then Rage got, I was like, well, I'm obviously going to read Rage first. That sounds crazy. But I do want to throw this kind of out to the rest of the, Nicole, thank you so much for, I mean, honestly, we can listen to you forever. Cameron Macias, this is said, this is the most, this is the best, most informative episode yet. Clap.
Thanks, Cameron.
Yeah. And yeah.
And
thanks,
he's
buddy.
Probably referring to when we were talking about Lindsey Graham.
Or the burger and challenge.
Or the, yeah, the or the chicken nuggets. Yeah, the chicken nuggets.
Amelia, what are your thoughts on this?
You know, when the whole information about the pandemic kind of started to increase at an alarming rate, I guess I was more of like in the denial stage of like, yeah, it won't affect me. I'm going to, you know, go to my Seattle trip that I planned in March. You know, it's whatever. I'm young. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then once I like, because that information about the pandemic team that kind of Obama left for Trump when Obama left was completely like gone when Trump got into office, I automatically knew like, well, this is going to blow up. This is obviously something that's just not going to go away. And something that was very, I think, kind of grounding for me was to kind of realize that like, he's not taking responsibility. Trump's not going to take responsibility for his shit. He's not going to take responsibility for whatever he says. And it's so frustrating that you can never, it's a shame that reporters have to fact check of what Trump says or does, because Trump can easily just go around and say, I didn't do that. That's not what I said.
So yeah, it's infuriating. That is
yeah.
One of the best parts about this is that it's like, boom, it's his tape. Like, it's taped. Like, there's been so many things against him this whole time. But, like, lo and behold, we have Bob Woodward with a tape, which this man is synonymous with taking a president down. And he, like, did it, you know? Like, not did it, but, like, he really did bring the heat. And what I was kind of bringing out in earlier today is just like, there is really a difference between Nixon and now, because the amount of spin and Ezra, you know, we nailed it. We got that satire so clean in this in our way, is that we could just, the machine is, it just spins and spinning and spinning and spinning, because they didn't have that back in the 70s at all. They didn't have these people just saying like, well, it's not your fault, it's somebody else's. It was just like, well, that's bad. You should, there was more morals in politics back then. I feel like, at least.
That's interesting. Because I feel like there were people saying all the things that we say now then. It's just that there wasn't Twitter for everyone to have a record of every conversation and to participate in every conversation. So I definitely don't think that people were passive about Nixon and now they're aggressive about Trump, but we're seeing so much more of it. And it becomes kind of like, you see so many Trump scandals come up one after another, after another, after another, and they all just kind of disappear because of like the way that people consume media on Twitter is like, oh shit, I got to retweet this. And then they apologize to their mom for swearing. And then, they, you know, it just like slides into the background right away. Whereas with Nixon, it was like, front page news every morning was shocking to everyone. I wasn't alive. I don't know, but I'm guessing. And then, you know, you talk about it all day, not just for 20 minutes on Twitter. But
right.
I'm not sure I have a point here. I just
no. What you're, I mean, like, there's a really great point in that too. Is just like Twitter, the news cycle. They didn't have cable news back then. The cycle of news changes, and I feel like even now, still with this gigantic news that's happening with our president, the cycle of news is changing because of all the forest fires that's happening. I feel like that's a way bigger story. If you listen to the news every day, it goes from, you know, like it was the Woodward tapes breaking news, and then maybe forest fires second. But at the point now, it's forest fires are such a dangerous thing, which is great. We should be talking about it for sure. But unfortunately, the cycle of news is and the attention span of people who care about it is shorter. Unfortunately,
the other interesting thing too, aside from all that, is like the source in which most people get their news from. Like TV as a whole, like regular traditional television, isn't what it was even, you know, 10, 15 years ago because of how we consume it. more oftentimes you're on the streaming platforms. More oftentimes now, people get most of their news first from seeing it on Twitter or Facebook or whatever social media platform you probably go to the most. You get something there first, and then people don't always go look it up. We'll look at comments to see what other people says. We'll click, like, we might click a link. It's just even the dedication to even go for us as people consuming it, the dedication to go and try to figure out if this is even legitimate. Is this real? Is all of this actually happening? And then too, because I always talk about how the internet is really big, but it's also it's small. So like for me, outside of in my timeline, outside of I think Adam commenting on this story, I think Amelia commented on it. This wasn't like a thing up and down my timeline.
Oh, really? Interesting.
It wasn't, and it, I mean, it's because I didn't
and
even.
And when you say when I was commenting on it, I used all of the characters one could use.
Oh, you were on
Twitter to say fuck Trump, to say yep. fuck Trump over and
yep.
over.
No,
again?
Yeah, proudly, okay. proudly did.
I got banned from Twitter on that day.
Of
actually,
of course you did. Yeah. Of course you did.
Yeah. One thing that like, Denzel. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. I mean, that was pretty much it. It's just like the dedication to it. Because for me, and I've talked about it before, I don't watch regular news. When I see things and they pop up, I see it, and then I go spend. Depending on the nature of my job, I have free time to kind of sit and obsess over one topic for hours if I want to. So I'll look it up, and it even depends. But like sometimes for me too, it's the other side. It's just so many things that are fucked up because the other side is like, I'm tired of every other week hearing something new. You made the
this
point
was
of,
a brutal week. This was a
yeah,
brutal
and
week.
And it's like, but you even made the point of every time something happens with him, something else, like we're talking about the fires now, but every time something happens with him, something else just, you know, by happenstance, if you may, distracts people or not distracts, but deters our focus. And it's like, yeah, it's just, it's a really weird
that's
world.
That's why I get all my news from theonion.com because that way it's fun and informative. But you also get this puzzle of trying to figure out what really happened. It's great.
What were you going to say though, Nicole?
Nicole.
One thing Denzel mentioned that is huge is personalization and streaming platforms. So you have to understand the ecosystem of news to understand where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. We are all competing with each other for your eyes and your ears. We want you to watch whatever we're making. People are creating content within like literally on the hour, by the hour. And there's a lot of pressure in news to create more so that you watch more, so that you're interested. And because our attention spans are so limited, there's like this giant pressure to like, the more the better, when it used to be like quality versus quantity. And then, you know, you wake up in the morning and you read the newspaper and that's the time you read the news, or maybe you listen to the radio. But now this 24-hour news cycle, and on top of that, with the way that social media operates and just the way that like we are constantly having to update, is just changing how you consume as well. It's making it less important sometimes for you to tune in because it's starting to feel like noise.
Can I ask like everyone a question? Does anybody remember, I don't know if it was last year or a couple years ago, but Denzel Washington had that quote where they were asking him about the news, and I forget the exact one, so forgive me, but it's basically like about the speed in which, to piggyback off Nicole's point, like how quickly sometimes news will come out. And he had that quote where he was like, what's the consequence of, is it too much information? It was something to the effect of like, either you're too informed or you're like misinformed. Like, what's the consequence of too much information? Sometimes the consequence is you don't have to be right or factual. I'm paraphrasing. You just got to be first because of that competition for eyes. So that then it, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say Kobe Bryant is a perfect example. Yep. When he died, that was a perfect example. TMZ going ahead of the coroner.
Oh, you just had to bring that up.
Going ahead of the death investigation before the family was notified, before the family could identify their remains, they went ahead and confirmed it was Kobe and all these people. So that has been like one of those issues that you mentioned.
I actually found that video, Denzel. We can actually listen to a little bit of it right now.
Yeah.
of too much information, the polarization of the electorate, a meter spiritness.
False information as well, because the whole fake news thing.
Pick one. It's not just
when
one.
When is this from?
That's the flavor of the day. Every day is something else. People have to understand, are you using your device or is your device using you? Can you put it down? Can you turn it off?
He jumped out of black hair.
The places people get their information from.
I don't care what information. Pick one. Phone, television. You know, it used to be news. Now it's opinions. Oh, glasses. We have three experts on the right, three on the left. Let's discuss. Ooh, light bulbs. We have three experts on the right. That's not news. That's opinions. Well, over and over and over. Cycle, 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 cycle. What is the long-term effect of too much information? If you're sitting there and you're thinking it's the gospel, what I'm saying to people is, to all of us, I'm not knocking the phone. What I'm saying is we have to understand, we have to at least ask ourselves around the world, you here in England, wherever you are, what is it doing to us?
Wow.
So what is the long-term...
That is,
can you take off that really quick, too? It's a conversation I had with someone else where it's like, again, because of the nature of the world, because like you said, everything is so quick, everything's so accessible, the phones, TV, everything, the internet's literally in our hand. We have the ability to know anything we want at any given time for no fucking reason other than we want to. So you have this thing where now all these news sites are competing. And I'm not just going to always simply blame news sites for even being quote unquote fake news or not delving all the way through, because you're competing for our attention. And if our attention is so limited, I'm not saying that it's one person's fault, I guess is my thing. I'm trying to piece this opinion together in my head. It's a culmination of just like where we're at. Because we have all this access, because we have it, it kind of, in a way, forces news networks, regardless of who it is, and I put this for everyone, it's not just Fox, it's not just CNN, it's not just one, it's everybody. You have to competing to a point where, to a certain extent, there are a lot of people, I don't know if you realize, that look at TMZ as a credible news site, that look at The Shade Room on Instagram as a credible news site. Like, but you laugh. Right, because it's funny, because who the fuck would do that?
But they do that all the time.
But they do, because they're so fast. And it also causes people to bring up the Kobe Bryant thing, that it puts something in us as a society to go, I'm going to record this situation because I can sell this to TMZ. I can sell this to the Shade Room.
Like, licensing video is huge. It's a multi-million dollar industry.
What did you call the people that we talked a little bit off the air? The people that recorded the reporter. The stringers?
So at the Newswire, something to note about Los Angeles news and how we cover news here. We have the Southern California Newswire, City News Service, and City News Service operates out of downtown LA and Santa Monica. But stringers are people who are from different companies or individuals who go and take video in the middle of the night. So I've worked closely with them for years. They're people who are eyes on the ground.
Like a la Jake Gyllenhaal's Creeper, right?
If you've seen Nightcrawler, that's definitely, that's the inspiration. And also, if you've seen Nightcrawler, or if you've seen End of Watch, Jake Gyllenhaal they trained with them. Like, it's a group of people who are highly trained to cover breaking news at night. But in these situations, it's like, they're very specialized. They have special camera equipment. They stay pressed. Right. Like, you won't notice them until there's something. They say, I'm never here until it's the worst night of your life. Essentially, you won't see them until it's really bad. But they're usually first at scene. Sometimes they even beat law enforcement to the location. So I've worked a lot with these people, and sorry if I'm missing your point. What was the original question?
I legitimately can't recall what it was.
I need to watch this movie.
Nightcrawler is good, and that, but also there's people that are literally to be getting paid just to show up early and get the most breaking news of it without necessarily reporting the facts at all.
Yeah.
Because if it bleeds, it leads type of thing.
Yeah. And I just want to mention, like, TMZ is a subscriber to City News Service. TMZ is considered a breaking news group. They are, I watch TMZ. I check TMZ. I'm not saying that, like, I would ever just like post something that isn't verified from TMZ, but I definitely do check it. And most journalists are checking TMZ, I would say. The other thing is that like they are breaking news all the time. So there are people who are former stringers. There are people like me who get recruited to go there. And they're legit journalists. They're just trying to make money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The editorial like restraint, right? The stringers are a necessary element of this. You're not going to have breaking news footage without them, but it's the choice to run without full facts. That's the issue.
Yeah. And stringers can put a lot of the facts together. There's a Netflix show series called Shot in the Dark also. And you could see like the real life inner workings of the stringer community. There's one company that you'll see, or a couple of different companies, and they all compete. This is highly competitive stuff because this is their livelihood. This is like thousands of dollars worth of, you know, one night you could make literally like 12 grand. There have been situations where stringers have caught footage that law enforcement really didn't have. So I'll give you an example. Remember those arson fires in Hollywood? I think it was like 2015, 2014. And there were a series of fires throughout the Hollywood area. And they were pretty serious because they were in apartment buildings and no one knew who was starting these fires. And one of the stringers actually caught video footage of the suspect going and setting a fire and saw a van, a white unmarked van, drive off from the scene. So that person helped match law enforcement with a suspect. So there has been situations like that in the past where, like, you know, they do help in not only delivering news, but also in like a lot of situations. And stringers are in all cities across the U.S. I'm just describing in L.A.
Right. Well, I mean, I honestly, Nicole, thank you so much for coming on the show. You really, really like Cameron said too, you're just like so informative and incredibly knowledgeable of it. And we can only dive more deeper. I would love to come on and talk about your beat in L.A. and some interesting stories real quickly. But before we move on to plugs, I want to cut to Steve Sotelo. Steve, do you have any final thoughts?
It's Ed's birthday.
No.
Happy birthday. That didn't get put out.
We can't. No. He told us not to say that anything about it. So,
no, happy birthday to you, Ed.
Pretend like we never said it. But let's go ahead and Nicole, what would you like to plug? Where can we follow you? What can we do?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Nicole Sharkey. Most of my writing is through patch.com. I'm also on Medium. I teach at Loyola Marymount. So if at some point you find yourself at Loyola and you want to take my class, it's Intro to Social Media. You could go to patch.com/subscribe. And that's where you can look up your local town and figure out like the local news in your area. It's super important for breaking news. We cover a lot of natural disasters, fires, earthquakes, anything, crashes. So that's a lot of what I do right now. And I'm also working on some pretty serious investigative stories. So stay tuned for that.
We would love to have you come back on and talk about those once those are broken and stuff.
Thank you.
Well, let's go ahead and cut to
the onion.
Breathe those instead of the onion. Kate Harmon, you were only here very briefly and we only heard you a little bit, but what would you like to plug?
You can tune in actually tomorrow. I have a music show. It's called Music with Feathers and Friends. I haven't promoted it yet, but I'll do that tomorrow. It's with Old Blood, my former band, and we're going to listen to their sophomore album with their new singer and play a game. So tomorrow, awesome. Find the Facebook channel. It's on Facebook or Twitch, and Twitch is
and Twitch.
Feathers.
Facebook and Twitch.
Twitch. Oh, did I say that?
Yeah, you did. But it's on both things. That's great. Yeah. Check that out. She's great. Denzel Ward, what would you like to plug, my friend?
Once again, I'm here to tell everyone to make sure you stream WAP by the great Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion. While you're on your DSPs, I also would like you to just go in there, type the name Jahod. That's J-A-H-O-D. Look up a little song called RWM. It's a song that I did with a friend of mine. Yeah, check it out. You know, you'll like it. I do, but I'm biased. So, I mean, listen to me, though. I know what I'm talking about. But other than that, you can follow me at Survival Mente at all of your as it get right there. Adam's so fucking good at all your social media.
You know it.
And you know, I post silly things. I'm a little different and funny. I like to think so.
You
anyway.
Should definitely go check him out. He's got one of the best Twitter feeds out there. In the game right now. Everybody, go check that out. It's hot. It's spicy. Go.
Also, nice to meet right you now. I've never met you, but it's nice to meet you.
I'm gonna check out that song. Wait, can you say you it should. Again? Because I got R O.
It's in my name is J A H O D.
Okay, great. So I didn't.
No, Adam. You know what? We'll do it like this. Adam knows where it is.
Yeah. My people will come.
I feel like I could just like send it to you, okay? It's on my phone. I'll send it to you. Amelia Gonzalez. Thanks, Amelia. What would you like to plug?
I definitely would like to plug my Instagram, Caras de Amelia. I like to post on my story a lot. I actually did a revamp of my Twitter, which is now officially called Amelia Whistles. So I am not ashamed to say I have a Twitter now.
It's no longer Angelic Whistles.
Yeah,
it's now just Amelia Whistles.
Correct. Very cool. Yes. I post a lot of social justice things on there. Also a little opinion or two. Maybe a retweet from Denzel once in a while.
It's equally as good as Denzel's at Sir Suave Mente. Ezra Parter, what would you like to plug?
Oh, yeah. I am at Ezra Partier on Instagram, at Ezra Parter on Twitter. I post a lot about comedy shows I'm doing and sometimes about hockey. The NHL, that is. Not hockey I'm doing. Also, if you want to know, one of my shows is Apocalypse Tips with Lester Pips. And if you follow at Lester Pips, you'll see the stuff at Ezra Partier posts, but a little bit before.
it's very good. It's very good content. Everybody shout out. I did do the show about 2 weeks ago, and some former guests, Ella Rodriguez was on it a few weeks ago, and it was a very Jada fun Rodriguez and funny show. Jada, Ella, I call her Ella. That's just because we're friends. Steve Sotelo, what would you like to plug?
I got an Instagram. It's steve.sotelo.
Dot or is it underscore?
Heck yeah.
Dude, go to bed. Go to sleep, dude.
And then buy my merch. I have a shirt. I have two shirts. And there are
a few shirts on our TeePublic page.
More merch to come out soon. I'll probably come out with a full Sotelo gang line.
And can we confirm this now that you will be doing a fries taste test next week?
Maybe.
Oh.
That's a hard maybe. Looks like we lost Nicole, but I think she'll probably coming back. She'll be coming back later. But thank you. If she doesn't, thank you so much for joining the show. Yes. I'm going to go ahead and say, we got Nicole. She came back on. Nicole, thanks for joining back on. We're just about wrapping up, but I do want to say, Nicole, thank you so much for joining the show. It was truly lovely. We really learned so much. And I want to give some small plugs here. Guess what, guys? We debuted a brand new logo today. If you're watching this on our Facebook page, you're seeing our brand new logo. If you're watching this on YouTube, you're watching this on Instagram, any clips or anything, you check out the new logo. So shout out to all the hard work from all the whole hard crew. We've been debuting it very slowly. It's a brand new thing. The hard crew. Shut the fuck up, Ezra.
Wow.
Okay. The hardworking crew. I do want to say, so please go follow us. We work very hard. We're a hard crew. We're a hard crew. So we're hard that look at this little peek behind the curtain here. Some of this is written. It's fake, guys. We pretend to do this every week, and we actually have a writing meeting. You can join us at patreon.com/gofingerguns. You can check out how we develop the show. We actually have some very special, not just like us bullshitting content. We have some very special content coming up. A shout out to Bethany McGee, who is our Patreon old OG, who's been doing listening and watching all of our stuff. Please go check that out. It's $1 a month, and you get so much more content. $1, and you get, I don't know, 5 more episodes a month. Please go check it out. And they're fully sound designed. There's so many more stuff going on there. As always, though, you can follow us at Go Finger Guns on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Like I said, we revamped our stuff there. And if you please can, I said this last week, give us a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps out. We've been doing this show for almost 3 years now, coming up in October. And we should have a lot more 5-star reviews. Guys, we get a lot of listens on the first day, which tells me some of you are just subscribed. So if some of you subscribers just wrote a review for us, we would triple our reviews. So please, it takes 2 seconds. Just go there, click the little thing, and hit the review. It would incredibly, incredibly help us out. But I, as always, we got to end the show. It was such a wonderful show. Shout out to Nicole Sharkey again. Shout out to Steve Sotelo. Shout out to Ezra Parter. Shout out to Kate Harmon, a.k.a. Feathers, Denzel Ward, Amelia, Danny Carpenter, who was here but not forgotten. And as always,
his Instagram is Danny Dick Pics.
Danny Dick Pics. Please go check him out. And as always, Black Lives Matter and wear a mask.
Do you guys think I could pull off overalls with one strap undone and yes. Tim's?
Finger Guns Comedy.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply.